The skies are grey.
It's really cold.
I'm not feeling the energy right now, but by the time we get to the end of this, I'm feeling like I want to be pumped, Anna. I want you to lift me like you've never lifted me before. Is this possible?
Oh my God, you're recording, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, I'm going to get you pumped and fired up.
And not pumping, but pumped.
No.
Yeah, after the last time we were on this podcast, we're going to leave behind the unclothed yoga and we're going to talk about more suitable forms of ways to stay moving. Yes, you are required to be dressed for this episode. And just to let you know that right now, I am fully dressed too.
Thank God.
Okay, so last week we were talking about the ukuleles, Anna, right? And you were doing a bit of air ukulele. Well, I have a special treat for you this week.
Do you?
I do, not just for you, but for the listeners too. Because we had an amazing email, which was sent to slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Tick.
Nice little throw in there, Clara.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It was sent by Annie Mason, not just any Annie, but Annie Mason. I'm going to full name her on this one because she deserves the credit. And she has sent us a little something to do with ukuleles, but you're going to have to listen all the way through to the end of the episode to find out what. So I'm just gonna give you that little teaser, Anna. But what I will say is she was better at playing the ukulele than you.
Is that even possible?
Well, that could be anyone, let's face it. So how are you? What did you...
What did
you have for dinner today?
You mean lunch?
Oh, sorry, lunch, yeah. Because I forgot that you're all posh.
No, I'm just southern, darling. I had an amazing lunch. I had scrambled eggs with a healthy extra A of feta cheese, baked beans with grated carrot, 2 slices of defatted bacon. What else was there? Oh, knee potatoes that I fried off in garlic and fry light and then added some spinach into my eggs. Oh, it was lush.
Wow.
It was so good. We had a little get-together earlier, didn't we? And I got off our meeting and I was like really wanting something and Daisy was eating crisps and I was like, no, don't eat the crisps, eat the free thing. So I hit the free thing.
Good for you.
And anybody out there who hasn't tried feta in your scrambled eggs, next level of cheesy, creamy amazingness.
And it's a healthy extra.
Yeah. 40 grams of feta is your healthy extra. And I always do this little thing with myself. Does anybody else do this? Where you put your cheese on the scales and you're like, did I get it right? Did I get it right? And it was bang on. You ever have that? Like, and if you get it like the gram below, you're like, yeah. So you can just pick that gram off the packet and not feel any form of guilt. Does no one play like the weighing game, no? Like, can I do it? Come on, guys, let me know if you do.
Oh my God. Well, I got to say thank you to you, actually, because you inspired me. Something that you said in our group, actually, was frozen medjool dates taste like toffees and frozen grapes taste like sweets. I was like, liberated.
Were you like, shut up, Anna, I don't believe you. And then you tried it like, oh my God, Anna is the God.
Yeah. And the other thing I've been going crazy for, because, you know, I couldn't believe how cheap it is, but a whole pineapple is £1.15 in my little supermarket down here. And it lasts ages. So free fruit is my friend when it comes to pineapple. I looked at all the minerals and the vitamins that are in that bad boy. Oh my goodness. There's tons of vitamin C, vitamin A, manganese, folate, calcium, iron. I was like, boom, this stuff is
amazing.
Good.
I'm just so highly allergic to it. I might die, but it tastes amazing. Yeah. Phil and Daisy are well into it. They cut it, Phil cuts it into cubes and they freeze it. And so if she wants an ice lolly, she has one of those.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. And watermelon frozen is lovely.
Oh. So, yeah. Okay. Well, the only other thing I've got to tell you is that I basically got to the point this weekend, Anna, where I had enough, right? I had enough of myself eating ridiculous amounts of chocolate, okay? Full disclosure, yeah. I just, you know, like Matt came back with some honeycomb chocolate things and I there's just something like, I just can't have a little bit of chocolate. It just opens up some kind of demon within me that just makes me want to have more, 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 more. And then it's like, I knew that there was other chocolate that was in our little, I've got it in a tin, in a jar, sorry, a tin in a drawer in the kitchen, right? The effort that I have to go to. And like you can, because there's like, you can hear who's in the kitchen in my house. So then to this next level, if you want to do secret eating, because then you hear the drawer and you hear the tin. But I just said to Matt, you need to take that tin and put it somewhere in the house that I don't know about. Because right. I can't have this in my life. And no. It was when I was in the virtual group, catching up with other members, and someone else said that had something similar, and they'd done a sugar-free challenge, and it all just kind of came to me, this idea. What if I don't eat any chocolate, cakes, biscuits until lockdown is over? I pay myself £1 a day. So for every day I get through, I pay myself £1 with the reward. But like with the money, I'm going to buy myself a new outfit. Because let's face it, it might be more than 21 days. It might be more than 30 days. I don't know how many days it's going to be. Yeah. And the added bonus is that maybe without these kind of high sin, sugary temptations, I would be able to remove some of my cravings and get my 5.5-stone award. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, yes. It just all suddenly like came to me that I was just done. I was just like, chocolate can do one. And what really inspired me as well, my mom did this thing for British Heart Foundation March, where it was like no chocolate for the whole of March. And I thought, if my mom can do this, then what are you playing at, Freeman? Get on with it. So
how many days are you in? Four?
This is day four, and I've got like a little chart next to me here, which I'm ticking off every single day that I complete. Because I'm quite competitive. I like a good streak, you know, like a good day run streak. So I just want to kind of like get together like a few days where I can just step away from this, because I was doing really well, and then it's just like as soon as I just have a little taste, I just want more. And I'm sure that there are people listening to this nodding their heads, and like I've buddied up with another Slimming World member who's also doing it with me. She's also wearing her jeans at home to make sure you know, that's her barometer. And I'm just gonna see where it takes me. So
many people in my groups comment on the chocolate and the booze being the two things at the moment that are just, they're triggering them. I think you've been brilliant to step away. I have to say, when I did it, it was the most liberating thing, because you're like, I don't eat it. And now look what I can spend my sins on. And you're not in that catch-up situation and that place where you're eating it and feeling bad. Like, it's like, I just don't eat it because I know it's dangerous. If something made you ill, you wouldn't constantly go near it. If something caused you pain physically, you wouldn't constantly go near it. But we do with foods and alcohol. It's so interesting, isn't it? Like, you just keep going back, even though you know the response is going to be the same. You just hope somehow you've nailed it.
You know what's simple? And the same thing happened when I gave up alcohol. It's just black or white. There's none of this grey in between. Either I'm having it or I'm not having it. And the simple fact is, I'm not going to have any chocolate cake. I'm thinking about, like, you know, what I can have rather than what I can't have. I'm going back to those basic principles, right? Choice, not deprivation. I don't know how many times we say this on the podcast, but it's just quite liberating to think, I don't know where the chocolate is. I can't see any. I can't have any. Move on.
And is Matt the type of person that could just have a square and leave it? Like, is he cool with that?
Kinda.
Yeah. Phil can just say, I'm not having any, and just not have it. And I'm like, wow. But once he starts, downward spiral.
Yeah.
Downward spiral. But I love that you're going to feel so good. Like, I've done a week, done 2 weeks, done 3 weeks. And then you're competing against yourself. You're like, right, I've got to do another week because I don't want to let go of that rubbish.
Yeah.
So I did the smoking, and now I'm 14 years May, 14 years I've not had a cigarette.
Wow. But the thing is, like, and this has partly been the inspiration behind this episode as well, right? I've really been thinking just about how life is different for all of us, whilst we're in lockdown, and you've really, the things that bring you joy, there's just fewer of them. You know, the things that have normally would bring me joy, I'm not able to do. And so I've kind of been really looking at how food and exercise have been the two kind of outlets for me, really. Two things I can kind of reward and control and enjoy, if you can enjoy. And I thought that was interesting because previously, both food and exercise have been two of my nemesis. You know, they've been two of my enemies that I've come to hate. And here I am now, where suddenly they are the things that I'm looking forward to. And I think also with exercise, because there are, you know, I can't just go to the pub or go to the cinema or go to the gym and go to see my friends. But I know I can do something like move or walk or just keep my energy up. Then I don't want to have to do that and then backtrack and lose the hard work that I've done by stuffing my face full of chocolate. So I kind of feel like I feel more inspired about exercise. And I don't get me wrong, I hate using that word, and we've discussed that a few times on the podcast. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking back because quite a few people who are just joining the podcast series as we record this anyway, they're going back to the first few episodes. And Claire's story was the first or second episode. And I talked about that, how I felt like I was starting to understand my food, but I wasn't trying to make exercise a regular habit. And this is an ongoing process. And I'd say this year I've kind of come to do a bit more of that than I've ever done before. But it is kind of hard work. And I don't know about you, Anna, but if we kind of rewind back to when we were a bit heavier, the thought of movement, of exercise, of going to the gym, of, you know, just generally moving, getting up off the sofa was genuinely hard work.
Yeah, I think I've had a real love-hate relationship with exercise. So like as a child, being overweight, I hated it. Then I found love of things like dancing and the gym and everything. And then I had my back accident and, you know, I went from working out 4 or 5 times a week. I remember the day before I had my accident, I'd been at the gym and done spinning. And that was just like a normal thing. And then after my accident, you know, not being able to walk was quite a big deal. I just became fearful of it. And being overweight, I became even more kind of resentful towards it. And then when I had my surgery and got better, I then got a trainer and I loved it. And then I've gone through hating it again. And it's only now in lockdown that I'm like, it's my sanctuary. The last week, it's been like my little place. Mm. And I think so much of activity is psychological, like weight loss, getting in that activity mindset of I can be active, I can do it, I want to do it, I'm choosing to do it, and I'm enjoying it. And I think what we've both found is enjoyment through it. Mm. And that's encouraged us to want to do it, hasn't it? I haven't seen any changes in my body yet. You know, I've only been doing it 33 seconds. But what I'm finding is the psychological benefit right now is massive. So that's kind of got what got me into it. And the thing I've learned about activity, and I don't know if you're the same, that the key to it is consistency. And the key to it is actually deciding I'm going to do this constantly, but do it because I enjoy it. For me, that's why I'm doing it, not to necessarily see the change in my body. I'm just doing it because I know mental health wise, it's going to really, really help impact me.
I suppose that's why we've kind of put this website out. That's why we've put this podcast out right now, haven't we? In that that kind of word exercise, let's just move that to the side. The unsporty guide to lockdown exercise, fitness, whatever you want to call it, movements, you know?
And not being sedentary.
Yeah, and it ties in, like, consultants will know this, that online magazine, there's an article which is out at the moment, it's been re-promoted, Fitter in 5 minutes, some ideas of how to do 5 minutes of exercise at a time. You saw an article which was on Lifeline Online, which inspired you.
So yeah, the Unsporty Person's Guide to Getting Fit and also 5 Great Reasons to Move More. These two articles are the two that got me, you know, moving, a week ago, and have really, really helped. And do you know what the first thing that I kind of realised about it was? That actually, this was just physically and mentally going to make me feel better at a time when I felt pretty rubbish. So, you know, I've been quite poorly, I don't know what it was. I kind of wanted to boost my energy levels. I also wanted to feel like I was doing something positive. And I'm one of these people, like a lot of people, I need to see my success in order to be more successful. So if I set out an achievable goal and I've done it, I feel proud and then I want to do it again. So could I do 10 minutes? And I just started with that and then ticking it off. And it's really encouraged me, like, achieving things. You know, we all like a dying speed, don't we?
Yeah. The difficulty I find with things like movement, fitness, exercise, is that you put in the work and you expect results immediately.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So, and that's a take on life, not just for exercise, but money, fitness, health, all these things. It's just how life, we want immediate payoff. We want short-term like gains straight away. And we often fail to look at the long-term. And I'm definitely guilty of this. And whilst I have been making a bit more effort to do more moving recently, I've actually started to log it. You know, I log it on my Fitbit app. I've got a chart on my kitchen wall that me and Matt are both putting our little workouts next to each other. And they're not particularly big workouts. You know, they're just...
They don't have to be, though. I think that's the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm using the online feature that you can get access to, like doing your tracking online, your fit logs, and it like sets you up a whole goal and you like tick it off and you put in what you're going to do and then you say, I've completed it, and then you build up. And I'm just loving seeing my progress build up because...
See,
you know,
I was a certificate hunter, right? And the thing that I really did enjoy, you know, in the early days of Slimming World... was chasing the stickers and the certificates. And so I went and did all the bronze, silver, gold. And actually, maybe this is a time where if people aren't necessarily losing weight, maybe they're maintaining, they've hit a bit of a lull, then maybe a way that you can get your next certificate might be through your body magic.
That's what I said to all my members last week. Like, you know, this is such an achievable thing. Like bronze body magic is 45 minutes a week split over like 3 sessions. Maintain for 4 weeks. How easy would it be to get that in 4 weeks' time?
Mm.
Like, and then you can step your way up. It's so, so achievable. And I think the thing that almost needs to be done for a lot of people is like the fear taken away and, you know, knowing how you can almost like hit it and not stress yourself out. Because I read something that said, you look at those runners in the street and you think they've always been a runner and you think they've always found it easy and they've always loved it. They probably started off like you, looking at runners and thinking, oh my God, I want to be you. Mm. And you have to start somewhere, don't you? And it's finding the right place to start for you.
I do. I really agree with that because I think everybody starts with zero followers, zero Facebook friends. They start having lost 0 pounds. Everybody starts at zero.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the progress is you know, comes afterwards. I do think it's interesting, and I have been thinking about this in advance of us talking about this, about like where have I come from? Like what was it before? And if I rewind to when I was over 5 stone heavier, 2 and a bit years ago, it was physically difficult for me to sometimes just, I'd sit on the sofa and say like, have my tea on my lap on the sofa, and then I'd forget my drink, or the remote control was over the other side of the room, and it would just be exhausting to get up again and go and get that thing. Climbing stairs, I remember going on holiday and my ankles are swollen, my knees are swollen. You go to do yoga in a class and there's mirrors everywhere, and so then you have to look at how all these other people seem to be really thin and you've got like some old jogging bottoms and some skanky t-shirt that you got for free from somewhere, and you just, from every angle, no matter how, whether you're wearing Spanx, I mean, I've tried doing yoga with Spanx just to look better, it's not comfortable. You just feel rubbish, right? And then you think about going for jogging and you can barely jog more than 5 meters. It's really difficult. And I totally remember that. I was always, as you say, someone who never got picked in the PE teams. I hated school at PE. So that word exercise comes with bad associations with me. But here is one thing that has really kind of sowed the seed for me just to get started. I am naturally a curious person. I am someone who wants, who is driven, who is ambitious, who wants to improve, who wants to transform and generally better myself. And those seeds are kind of what inspired me. So I've tied that kind of curiosity and drive and just that need to kind of explore and know everything and see everything in like a nerdy way to just kind of keep moving. So, you know, I can leave the house and I'm very fortunate and grateful for that at the moment. I've moved to a new area and so I have just been walking around the place, like avoiding the parks or the trails where most people might be, and just looking like and seeing a sign for a public footpath and seeing where it takes me.
The public toilet then, I was thinking, oh, okay.
Definitely not open. And then looking at, you know, old pictures of the village 100 years ago where I live, and then going and walking to those places with my phone in my hand to see what do they look like now. So using that, I'm moving, I'm getting steps in, I'm doing kilometres, but I'm not really thinking about it. And someone inspired me to do that, actually. I interviewed a woman a couple of weeks ago, an 84-year-old, for a podcast that I have narrated and presented and produced with Age UK Cheshire. And it was fascinating because she was talking about the surprising reality of old age. And in it, she talked about how walking for her was something that kept her mind active, but also kept her like physically active as well. And she just moved to Glasgow. She didn't know anybody there. She was living with her husband, but her curiosity needed to be fed. So she pulled out a map and she looked at all the green spaces in her area, took her iPad, and she was just walking and ticking off every green space that was in her area, her local area, to see what it was, what it looked like. And then when she got there, she'd just have her eyes open and just see like what was there and take some pictures. Oh. And I thought that was really interesting because that is exercise. But, yes, you know, and it's even like a form of meditation, really. Like you're just kind of opening your mind just to see, you're switching your mind off from all the busyness. And you're just, I don't know, putting yourself in the place to just see what kind of comes and where your feet take you.
I love that.
And I could get on board with that stuff, right? I can totally get on board with that. So I think that's interesting about that. You're talking about like doing it for your mind. And for me, there's nothing better than going and like kind of being out in nature, right? Just see some green. Go and touch a tree, smell some flowers.
Well,
you're shaking your head. But there's something about that.
But it doesn't float my boat, but it floats your boat. Like, my thing is like doing something in the warmth and the comfort of my home. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's a really, that's why we're so different, aren't we? Because you want to explore and be outside. I'm like, yeah, where's the warm duvet?
You're laughing at this, right? So in the last 2 weeks, I've downloaded a stargazing app so I can work out what stars and planets
are. No, I don't like that. Yeah.
So because we were walking in the evening because there's less people out then. And then we were also, and then I downloaded a bird naming app as well because I couldn't work out what birds there were in the area. So you hold your phone out and it records it and it tells you what bird it is.
Like a barcode zapper for birds. What is it? Oh my God. But do you know one thing I want to say to anyone that's out there listening is let's take it right back. If you're panicking about it. So for me, now you're saying you're exhausted getting off the sofa. For me, this started with standing up a little bit more. So, you know, the difficulty for me and Claire, by the sounds of it, was getting up was really, really tough. So I don't know if you know, but the NHS did some research and they found that if people stand up for an extra 30 minutes a day, it could help them lose just under 5.5 pounds more a year. That's by just standing up. That's not even doing any activity. That's just from becoming less sedentary. So, you know, even just adding some more walking into that and all those type of things could really, really help you. So I think a lot of us think that, you know, we're tired because of the things we do. It's actually sometimes we become more tired because of the things we don't do. So actually sitting on the sofa or lying in bed for long periods of time can actually make us exhausted. So standing up can help with the blood flow, can help with all sorts of things. So a really great and easy way, standing up an extra 5 minutes a day. I'll never forget, I had a member who used to be at a desk for 14 to 16 hours a day. And she said, I know I'm going to die at this desk if it carries on. So she made her boss get her a standing desk. And she used to stand for 8 to 10 hours a day. And she said the difference in her swelling in her body, because she used to get really bad, you know, saying swelling in your ankles was massive. Psychologically, it was better. She became more hydrated because she wanted to move around more. It's so interesting how something so simple.
I agree with that, because when I did night shifts, I would try and get a stand-up desk. You've got to be careful how you stand, though, otherwise you can hurt your back.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's really interesting because I have stayed connected with my gym group. I'd only just found a really great gym just before lockdown and was really enjoying going 3 times a week for like weightlifting and different kinds of things. I was rubbish, but I was starting to get somewhere. And so they're doing different classes and things at the moment that you can do as home workouts. But they're kind of using all kinds of different things, from like water bottles, tins, just kind of be really like kind of quite creative in what can you use whilst you're watching telly, maybe do a few movements. I think ad breaks are really interesting, right? How many of us fast forwards through the ad breaks when actually that's 2 minutes where we could just stand up, move, get off the chair, maybe just do a few burpees.
Amazing.
Maybe not a few burpees.
I was just talking about standing, and now you've gone to burpees.
Oh, come on.
Do you know that actually standing for like standing up every 20 minutes actually helps your metabolic rate? Because when you sit down, we know of even really fit and healthy people, the body goes into the process of storing fat and glucose in a much easier way. But if you got up every 20 minutes, you're more likely to boost the metabolic rate, so that wouldn't happen. That's quite an interesting thing.
A motivating thing for me is that it's my blood circulation is clearly rubbish, right? I thought by losing some of the weight that maybe, and doing a bit more exercise, it might help. So quite often, like by about midday, having been sat at my desk just working away, I get cold. And so I need to do some exercise to keep the blood moving in my body. So you've been kind of dipping into yoga, haven't you? What kind of stuff have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing yoga for fat burning. For fat burning, right? I thought yoga was going to be all like, yeah, I don't know, calming, chilling. So I'm following this American woman. Well, she's actually Brazilian, so her bum is incredible. Everything's in the right place. And the stuff she gets you doing, pouring with sweat. Daisy said, Mama, why are you crying? That's not tears, Daisy. That's sweat. She'd never seen this stuff before. What is this, Mama? It's brilliant. I do. I said to myself, I know I'm not going to do something if I've got to do it for an hour. Just finding an hour in the day with the crazy one is not going to happen. So 25 minutes. So I set myself 4 times a week, 25 minutes. Can I do it? Absolutely can do it. And sometimes I've had to break it into like half and half. Like I've just done 10 minutes before we started, kind of just give me a boost of energy. And the more I'm doing it, the more I'm enjoying it, because now I can stretch my legs further. I can do more like, what is it? Downward dog? Is that something?
It's a downward dog,
Like, and I'm just loving after a week, like I can do more of it. And so what I'm trying to do, because one of my members said it to me, she said, this isn't about, you know, just that one hit wonder, it's the consistency, Anna. And if you just did this for the next 6 weeks, you're going to see a difference. So I've ditched the scales, like I said to group on Saturday when you're in, like, I've got to stop weighing.
Yeah, tell me about this, because I thought this was really important, okay?
I was really honest with group, wasn't I? Because I've had a bit of, I don't know, like, you know, life's upside down and I started the demon of weighing at home, but not like once a week, like I really talked to my members about doing, not even once a day, like having a wee, having a way, having a packet of crisps, having a way, eating your evening meal and having a way. That's the most terrifying thing. And I got to the point where I was just so sad. Like, Phil said, what's the matter? I said, I just hate the way I look. I hate my body. Like, numbers aren't going in the right way. And then I thought, what the hell are you doing? Everything you say to your members not to do. And it was almost like I was trying to beat myself up, like really make myself feel awful. So I've just ditched them. I'm going by the jeans. The jeans fit. They fit perfectly, but I want them to be baggy by the end of lockdown. I want to have to go and get new jeans. So ditching the scales has made me feel 100% better, because, you know, sometimes numbers don't go in the way you want. And if you're weighing every time you've had a wee or eaten your dinner, that going to do? No. You know what I mean? Also found out that my bathroom has seriously wonky tiles, even though it's a brand new house, and we could be £4 different depending on what side of the bathroom you weigh at. So ditch them and literally just really trying to talk Delilah down, you know, my inner little monkey that comes up and tells me how awful I am and, you know, how fat I am and, you know, that headspace that takes you back to all that weight ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you find it, Claire, but I find it in times of when I'm down or I'm anxious, all those things come back sometimes. And that's really happened during lockdown for me. So just try to have the positive things to achieve. And that being for me, just being a little bit more active. Also, a little thing that's really helped me, I don't know if you have it, but like I need to bring things from downstairs to upstairs. And I used to walk upstairs with like 600 things in my hands. And now I'm like, no, I only take one thing at a time. So I keep walking up and down the stairs. Instead of going once, I've been like 8 times today. So it's little things I know that can improve my mind and improve my body is what I'm concentrating on. And yeah, no scales.
I think our minds, you know, we talked like before about like the chimp paradox, for instance. It talks about there's a certain part of our mind that really craves familiarity. And right now, we want to fixate on things that we know. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of new, isn't there? Which I think is really interesting with the exercise thing, because like I've definitely had to try some new things. Like in order for me to keep active and keep moving, like I got a skipping rope. I got a skipping rope. I borrowed one from my gym. They were giving out some equipment and I thought I'll just give a bit of skipping a go. And I've surprised myself at how much I enjoy it. And whilst I'm not into running, I've really enjoyed just like skipping. It's my heart rate. I just do it in bursts. I'm obviously quite competitive, so I want to kind of like, oh, I can do 10 in a row. Oh, I can do 20 in a row. Oh, I can do 35. And then
you're
in between,
good sports bra.
Yes. And then I've got my music pumping, and then I've got like a little board with a marker pen. I've just kind of done 20 seconds of skipping and 20 seconds of jumping jacks, 20 seconds of skipping, 20 seconds of squats. I've just like mixed it up, right? So I've kind of been nerding out and trying different things and researching about it. And I think it's the same whether it's food or exercise. If I keep the variety, if I keep mixing things up, I'll keep interested. Once I get into a routine, I find I get quite bored. Some people, routine really helps. And actually, we talked about that on last week's episode, protect your weight loss from lockdown sabotage. For me, routine actually bores me, and that's where I start to go wrong. So trying these new things and mixing it up has actually really helped. But yeah, skipping, oh my god,
we're so different, aren't we? Like I'm a creature of habit and routine and I need that, and you're like all fly by the seat of your pants and let's do something different, whereas I'm like, oh my god, it's Wednesday, I'm gonna have to do I don't know, yoga and eat cottage pie because that's what we do on Wednesdays. Crazy how different people are. But I think what you're also saying, like, you know, with that building it up, is you're seeing your progress. And I think that's what a lot of us like are not patient enough to do. Like you said something, I think it was last week or the other day, you're like, we want to lose weight 3 stone overnight and we want to go to the gym and drop 25 pounds and have abs. And it's like, actually with activity, if you want to see a result, it's the consistency and it's building your confidence. So you doing 20 seconds of skipping, you might be able to do 60 next week type thing, and that can make a real difference to how successful you are at keeping it up.
Well, I think it's about momentum, isn't it? This whole game of weight loss, of progress, of development, is all about momentum. And if you just start with one small thing that you know you can do, and then do another thing that you can do, and another thing that you can do, and you keep it really small, like don't go for a 1 hour run. Start with 5 minutes and then maybe the couch to 5K, you know, program that lots of people talk about. And for me, it was like, can I skip for like 20 seconds on and off for 5 minutes? Yes. Okay, that's today done, sorted. I won't do that for another 3 days. I'll go back and try. You know, I found yoga apps that have actually really worked for me, because I can tick off as I go through and complete all the little classes in each of the programs that they run. And it's the same what I do with Headspace, actually, the meditation app. I just go through and I'm completing all of the packs one by one. And then you just kind of mix it up. But the walking, yoga, and then looking at some high intensity to get my cardio, my heart raised, I think that for me is a good combo, because it's fat burning in the walking, it's flexibility, balance and stretching in the yoga, and then it's kind of getting my heart rate up and getting some cardio when I want to do some HIIT, HIIT, kind of more intense stuff. And it only has to be 20 or 30 minutes. But, you know, like, the thing that I mean, my 2 year ago self would laugh at this, but I've managed in the last couple of months to do push-ups, almost full push-ups without my knees.
That's
I can't quite
easy.
Get the movement, but I can only do maybe one or two, but maybe in 6 months I might be able to do five or six.
Yeah.
And that's about the progress that we're talking about. Small little things that we can use as barometers and say, oh, I can do this now. That's a bit easier. I tell you what, one thing that you'll laugh about, the yoga.
Oh, God.
No, don't worry.
Prepared, listeners.
Well, it does involve being on the toilet. So, okay. So basically, the toilet roll was behind me. And,
okay.
And I could turn round a lot further than I thought to get the toilet roll. And I thought, well, that's helping. My spinal twists are clearly helping. So talk about a barometer of little moments where you think, oh, I've made some progress. That was one of them.
But, you know what? That ties very nicely into something that Linda Papadopoulos said. Did I say her name right? I hope it did.
The behavioural psychologist.
Yeah.
Yes.
About... actually looking at other reasons to be active. So like, do I want to feel less stressed? Do I want to be able to reach behind me and get the toilet roll? Like for me...
Did she say
the toilet roll. She said something quite similar, like, do I want to have more stamina? Do I want to boost my energy levels? So those type of things, looking at those wins, because I think what we're not always great as slimmers, like I said before, is being patient. But if you could go, actually, you know, last week, Claire might have not been able to get that loo roll. You know, this week, I talk about the flexibility. I watched Daisy doing all these little yoga moves yesterday. I'm like, God, look what a three-year-old can do. Look what a nearly 40-year-old can do. My aim is to be as supple as my three-year-old by the end of lockdown. But I mean, she's got bendy legs. Concentrating on those wins and being like, actually, this is how I could do this, you know, on the 25th, and look by, I don't know, the 7th, I can do this. And then celebrating those wins, because psychologically it's those wins we need.
Mm. What else have we got? Like, you know, there's things like washing your car.
Yeah.
I've seen this a few times. That makes me, I can't really be asked, if I'm honest, wash my car. And I'm not using it. But it could just be like, if you think about what all the exercises you're doing, or let's say, a thing that I've been doing is mopping the kitchen floor.
Well done.
Housework. You're squatting down. You're lifting. You're moving. You'll be getting a bit of elbow grease in there.
And that, I think it's those things like, so Daisy and I try and, while we're doing the washing up, have a little bop around the kitchen to some, you know, happy tunes. And that's a really good way, like moving around. Like if you are kind of like hoovering up, can you do it with some vigor? Do you know what I mean? If you've got to take the bins out, you know, really grabbing that rubbish bag above your head, you know, all those type of things that could, you don't.
What?
Yeah, can you imagine though, if you like lifted up your rubbish
weightlifting with,
yeah,
rubbish.
Yeah, you can't see me doing it, but ooh, you know, all those type of things could have a really big impact. Just kind of doing things with a bit more, like, I don't know, gusto.
Basically, people need to be more Anna. I'm so sad that you don't get to watch Anna do all these moves that I get to on Zoom. I think you can hear the passion coming across in her voice, but her movements right now are certainly exaggerating that.
Just need to show the passion I have, and I do it through hand gesture.
And I believe it, and I feel it, Anna. I feel it deeply.
But you know, like when you're cleaning the shower, like really reaching up and scrubbing that glass, you know, when you're mopping the floor, giving it a good...
Well, it's interesting when you wear a smart watch, you know, like a tracker watch, Fitbit or whatever other types there are. It's interesting what gets your heart rate up, and like just kind of looking over the day, like the activities that get your heart rate up, and none of that winking.
Remember, this is I don't know if there's a watershed time on a podcast, Claire Freeman.
There isn't. It's family friendly. But yeah, say, but going up and down the stairs, as you say, like I've been clearing out bits of the attic, and that's like two floors up. So I've got to keep coming up and downstairs, up and downstairs. So that kind of stuff, it does make a difference. But
yeah,
this is where, like, for me, a lot of us might be kind of building in these small things as like new habits, really. But tracking the progress, I think, is really important. And that's where we come back around full circle to, if you are and can use the Fit Log, or you can just write it down somewhere that you can tell your consultant what you've been doing, look up what the bronze, silver, gold awards really are, and make sure that you can kind of do those, because I think that will be where you, when on the weeks when you don't necessarily get the weight loss that you deserve, it might be that, well, that's what the numbers tell me, but here, let's look at the evidence. What progress have I actually made? What, you know, what have I done that I would never have done 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, whenever it is? And I think that helps you keep a bit more perspective.
Yeah, and really, like, celebrate those little wins, because psychologically, anything you can do is going to be better than doing nothing. So, you know, I wish I could go back and tell myself, you know, pre, post spinal injury and all of that, actually, Emma, this is what you can do now. You know, you 5.5 stone ago, nearly getting exhausted, getting off the sofa, you'll be jumping up, won't you, now? And it's those things. And I think, you know, I'm trying to look at from the healthiest point of view, and actually just getting up and being more active can really increase your life expectancy. There's a massive study done in America about women over the age of 50 and how if they had a more active lifestyle, as in just getting out of their chair and not sitting down for long periods of time, they were going to live a lot longer, up to 14 years. It's crazy. So, you know, those things are incredible. It can boost your weight loss as well. It's like a win-win situation, isn't it?
Mm. You know, like, you always talk about measuring inches. We were joking with my mom, weren't we, on the live listeners' questions, measuring knee. Even things like, you know, whether you can look at your BMI. There's a bit of a myth around body fat, whether that really kind of says anything. But at my biggest, I was 58% body fat. And now I've got that down to about 23%, you know? You talk about like BMI and what was the BMI? My BMI was absolutely off the scale, right? My BMI at its peak was like 38 and I'm now 25.5. So think about like that stuff is all really down to more of like my fitness. My weight dropping down will obviously massively help, but also thinking about, well, what's lean muscle and what's fat?
Yeah.
Which kind of makes you kind of delve into a little bit more behind the numbers. You're not fixating on, if I do exercise, I will lose weight and I will weigh more on, you know, weigh less on the scales. It kind of, I think what we've always talked about is having a bit of a bigger perspective on all of this instead. I know I'm sometimes guilty about forgetting about that too. But when I look at that hard evidence of 38 to 25.5, 58 to 23, that's insane. It's hard to imagine that nearly 2/3 of me walking around was fat.
It's mad, isn't it? I had it when I had my search. So when I first started with my BMI, I was 42. I had to have it 23.3. I'm not at 23.3. But you don't realise actually how your body was struggling so much previously. And now that weight's not there, how much easier things are today. So it's a progression, isn't it? The two things together. And also, like I always say, we're in training for being at target. You're going to need to be active to maintain your weight loss. So building it in while you're losing weight is going to make that kind of pendulum swing in a really nice, calm way, isn't it? Not one or the other, if you can integrate a level of activity.
Mm. I think what's interesting about what you're saying in, like, a lot of people are families, right? So they've got their kids with them. They don't get the freedom like they might have had before to just go out and do what they want. They're juggling work. They're doing housework. They're managing like a whole host of different relationships in the house, which is definitely something we're going to look at as a future subject in the next couple of weeks, by the way, guys. So then it's about kind of finding some kind of activity that the kids can do too. And like we've heard people talking about using their video games consoles to do activities with the family, you know, like Wii, when you can like play tennis and get leaderboards and all this, get quite competitive with each other, doing your yoga together.
Yeah, I've been doing sit-ups with Daisy on my tummy because my little weight. My next door neighbour, like I've seen her on the trampoline with the kids. Like anything that you can do, like are you going out for dog walks, you know, in that half an hour? If Phil's been taking the dogs out and normally he just saunters around the street, he's like really walking them because he's like, look, I'm not getting the cardio I used to get at work. Let's do it this way. So I always say think about what you can do, not what about you can't do. And, you know, if you could do 3 5-minute bursts a day without the kids, brilliant. But also I know that time, like a lot of people have got extra time during lockdown, a lot of us who have got children at home or partners or are caring for them haven't got that extra luxury of time. So where can you fit it in? Like for me, it's been getting up 10-15 minutes earlier while Daisy is sleeping, or like I am here hiding in my office and just going to get some sneaky activity in. You're trying to look at the wins rather than, oh god, I've got the kids at home, the husband, the dogs, what, I can't do it. There's lots of things on YouTube about how to incorporate children in your workout as well. So lifting them safely and trying to do things. There are a lot of celebrities out there. Oh, there are a lot of celebrities out there who are doing workouts on things like Insta and involving the whole family as well.
Mm. So, okay, let me ask this question. Because, I mean, I'm really impressed, actually. You're someone who is not able to leave the house until July. And the fact that you're kind of even wanting to be bothered doing anything, let alone work. I mean, there's part of me would just want to, like, I don't know, hide in a little hole. So I'm impressed how you're just like out and alert and like performing and still going. But what if there's someone listening to this who just genuinely has lost all get up and go? They cannot be asked. Where do they start? Because frankly, I don't know. I mean, I look outside right now. It was sunny last week. It's grey. It's rainy. It's cold. I put the heating back on. You know, I can't be bothered to go outside, let alone jump about. I can understand that some people, this is a bit too much, and that's why they've clicked on the unsporty guide.
So, can you just stand up? That's how I started. So, standing up, just making sure that, like you said, in the ab breaks, I'm just going to stand up during the ab breaks, not fast forward them. Actually, I know that I've got to put the washing out, so I'm going to stand up and put the washing out to dry it. Actually, today, I'm going to make sure that I don't take everything downstairs for the whole day. I'm going to make sure I leave my glasses upstairs, so I've got to walk back up. And just set yourself maybe a daily little thing that you want to do. Actually, while I'm doing the washing up, I'm going to stamp my feet for 5 minutes. So my mom broke, like I said before, broke both her legs a few years ago. She literally couldn't do anything. She can't walk in the way she did before. But she's like, I just stand in front of the TV and listen to some music and move around. That's all I do, upper body. I've got a member who a lot of the time is in a wheelchair, but she's hula hooping, you know, but she's only doing it for a few minutes at a time. So I would say tick off the wins, tick off the things you can do. Today, I'm going to stand up. Tomorrow, I'm going to try and walk around the kitchen. You know, mum texted me the other day. She's like, Anna, I've just walked up and down the garden 26 times. She wouldn't have done that 3 weeks ago, but she knows she's got to be active in some way. So, and focus on something you can do. And then once you've achieved it, celebrate it. You know, is it about giving yourself a big tick on a piece of paper? Is it about putting it on Instagram? Is it about ringing your mum and telling them? And celebrate that achievement, because psychologically, that's going to buy into it. You're going to buy into it in that way.
I think also, like, think about the visual cues as well that you have around. So I've put a picture of me at my biggest on the fridge. Whether you've got like your trainers that are somewhere that you can see them, maybe the night before, get out your workout clothes. And even if you're just doing a workout at home, if you change into them, it will make you feel like different. It's like, you know, I think I was saying somewhere about a friend who's like basically makes his kid put her school uniform on. So then she feels like she's at school. So if you get up in the morning and you go brush your teeth, you know, wash your face, and the next thing you do is put on your workout clothes, Half the battle's already done. The decision's already being made for you. You made that decision last night. And then all you have to do is perform it rather than constantly having to think, oh, I need to do some activity. What should I do? What do I feel like? If you kind of make that decision in advance, I think it takes away the thinking and then you might not feel like it. And I think also I've discovered this thing actually, which is really helping me work. It's like kind of sprint working. It's called Pomodoro. P-O-M-O-D-O-R-O. It sounds like a tomato. But it's a type of working where you work in bursts. So it's like you do 25 minutes and then you take like a 5-minute break. And then you do another 25 minutes and you do 5-minute break. And so rather than me feeling overwhelmed, I need to do a full 1-hour workout. I need to do, a full 2 hours of writing on this essay or something. I just break it down into smaller chunks and I complete each chunk one at a time. And it might just be for 1 minute that I just do walking. It might be for 5 minutes I do walking. I think that kind of stuff really massively helped. Put in the phone and the alarm clock across the other side of the room so it makes you get up and out of bed. I think really sets your mind up for a different kind of day. Put the remote control over the other side of the room so that when it's the end of the Netflix or whatever, Amazon Prime or iPlayer episode, that you have to get up physically to go and change it to the next episode rather than leaving on the auto setting. I think those small things make a difference, that they add up.
Is there an auto setting?
Oh, it just plays next, 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 next until you like, and then it comes up with the, are you still there?
I've not got that.
Well, that's good because, frankly, it's dangerous.
Do you know, you said something to me when we first started the podcast that I thought was a genius idea. Incorporating body magic into your everyday living. So I know we're in lockdown, but if you are going to the shops, could you walk to the shop? If you are going to Tesco's or wherever you go to do your food shop, park the car at the back of the shop. Your car park, so you've got to walk. Like, is there things that you could do right now that incorporated things in your daily lifestyle so they didn't stick out like a rusty nail and made you go, oh god, I can't do it? But actually, this is just happening because I've got to go and get some food. This is just happening because I'm walking the dog. I also find if I'm active in the morning, I have a much better day. I mean, I feel like I've been doing it for 12 years. But, you know, when I previously was active and now started again, like, picking it off, like, you know, like you said, get up, brush your teeth, brush your hair, put your gym gear on, do your activity, go downstairs, make your coffee, have your porridge, all that type of thing. And it gives you a little sense of routine.
Yeah, it's like in that book that I keep raving about. It's called Habit Stacking. And there's habit stacking where you kind of build up, when I do this, then I do this, and then I do this. And so you get in the habit of doing one thing after the other. The other thing was temptation bundling. Do something that you don't like with something that you do. So I was working out today whether I could actually skip in my living room whilst watching TV. So, you know, that's exactly what you're saying. Like, if I stand up and march on the spot whilst I'm watching my favourite programme, it won't feel like...
I do that with the ironing. Yeah, exactly. I didn't know it was called temptation bundling.
Well, that's what this guy, James Clear,
of the book,
talks about it. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, just, isn't it?
One other thing. You said it before. You'd budded up with someone in group and you're talking to them. That's a really great thing to do because actually start off with someone you know is starting off at the same place or someone you admire who maybe is a runner, you know, talk to them about their tips and then you're kind of in a connection with someone about it because sometimes it can feel a bit lonely, can't it? So actually finding someone who's in the same position and saying, do you want to try and be more active? Should we do it together? I know we can't physically do it together right now, but I know one like your... There's certain watches you can buddy up, can't you, and do like challenges against each other. So there's loads of ways to do it. My members have found the most inventive ways. There's like rave-a-size, club-a-size. They're doing everything and anything to try and be more active. They really are.
So this Sunday, actually, talked about buddying up. Myself and Alison, back in January this year, I can't believe it's that long ago, we did a 5K race and we barely done any training. And we were like, let's just use this.
Yeah.
We just thought, let's just use this as like a barometer to see, well, how are we? And then in 6 months or whenever, we'll do the same race again. So we signed up in January. We both did it in under 45 minutes, which we were really happy with. And then we booked on to do the race, the same race again in Heaton Park this Sunday. But of course, it's been cancelled. So instead what they're doing is they're doing a virtual run. So this Sunday, I'm going to get up, I've planned my route. It's an old railway line. And if I run pretty much there and almost back, it'll be 5K. And so I'm going to get up early on Sunday and I'm just going to do it. And I don't feel like I've done that much more running training, but I'm hoping with all like the skipping and the cardio and I'm a little bit lighter, maybe I will feel a bit easier. And I haven't got lots two massive hills in my run either. So so I'm just going to get up and do it because at the end of it, I get a certificate and a medal anyway. And I paid for it, so I hate wasting money. I'm going to be cursing myself, but I'm going to get up on Sunday and I'm just going to get on with it, get over it, as David Goggins says. If anybody knows who David Goggins is, you'll know that his thing is whenever you kind of feel like you're at your edge, you're only 40% of the way there.
Oh, sugar.
So it's all about pushing ourselves.
And do you know what? I think you feel better for pushing yourself. You know, and I think for me at this time in our crazy lives, I really want to look back on this and be like, look what I achieved during that. Look what happened to me during that. I came through that and actually now I can do this. I've got friends that are doing all sorts of new things and I've got members that are doing all sorts of like training courses and everything. And I'm trying to look at this as such a positive thing when it's actually pretty rubbish. Like, you know, I want to be able to teach Daisy to ride a bike because clearly I'm not going to do that. But, you know, so we look back and go, actually, it was rubbish, but look what we did.
I had that same thought today. I thought, what if I came out of lockdown not only having got my 5.5-stone award, not only having got my 6-stone award, but come out being a Target member? Like, what would that say? What would that feel like? How would I feel that? And it excited me. Like, it kind of, a little ember of fire that perhaps, if I'm honest, had like kind of started to really dissipate about this whole thing. Started to feel like it lit for the first time. So I'm excited to kind of see what's possible.
And that's the exciting thing, isn't it? And I think that's why I'm almost excited about being active, because I want to see what my body can do. And right now it's a little bit of a creaking old door, but I'm waiting for it to be like a well-oiled, not creaking door.
Let's put the reality on the situation that if you're moving, you're boosting your immune system, all the endorphins. And right now, you've got to be in tip-top immune, like... your healthier self. You've got to give yourself a chance to protect and fight anything that comes your way, right?
Totally. And I think, you know, in difficult times, it shows you potentially how strong you can be. And I think, you know, coming out of this feeling like you've given something new a shot is a lovely feeling as well, isn't it? And if all else fails, you might just find you've tried a number of different ways to being active and you found the ones that you don't like and the ones you like. I mean, your house might be cleaner, your car might be cleaner. You know, it's only a win-win situation in my mind.
What have you got to lose?
Yeah, do you know what I've started to like? That pain you get afterwards. Do you know that activity pain? Like, my God, have I broken a rib? Like, yes, something must be working. You know, when you go down to put your socks on, you're like,
Totally there. I like made up my own little workout the other day and I was like, that's why I'm not a personal trainer, because I feel the pain. Yeah.
We should say to anyone that's listening to this, if you've listened to previous podcasts, if you go back, Claire has been far more active than I've ever been. Like, she walks hills and stuff like that. I walk local shopping centres. I go and get my hair blow dried. So for me to be sat here talking about being active, like, this is a big deal, because that's not something I've done. So please don't take this like we're trying to sit here in any way that's like virtuous. This is like, wow. This is, you know, how I've started to be active. It's because the nail salon, the hairdresser, the spray tanner, and the shopping centres are closed. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. Just
proud of you. Anna. Proud of you.
Yeah. I've learned that I can't do it in a full face of makeup. Who's way?
There's no need.
No, but for me, part of my getting my head together in the morning is like hair, makeup, nails, like, is it done? And then I feel like I'm ready. Uh-huh. Like, I don't feel when I don't get dressed, and that's just me personally, like, I'm ready for it.
We're so different, aren't we?
We are, I mean, so different.
Yeah, I've got my slippers on, my jeans are tucked into my socks. I've got a big fleecy pink teddy bear top on. I mean, I've got like a smart green top on underneath for a meeting we had earlier.
Yeah.
But then that's disappeared. You know.
If you were as high maintenance as me, this would not be a good collection or collaboration, would it? We'd just be in the hairdresser all the time.
I know. Oh. And on that note, this is the end of this week's Limo World podcast. We forgot to say all the usual things, like please subscribe, follow, leave us a rating and a lovely review on Apple Podcasts.
And we're not doctors.
We're not doctors. We are sponsored by Slimming World. And what else did you say? Oh, we're on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. And the only thing is to tell you about the email that I mentioned at the start of this podcast, which, Anna, you are going to love this, right? Ooh. So here's the story, okay? Annie is a Slimmer World member. I don't know which group she is part of, and I don't know the name of her consultant. However, she has written a little song which she played and sang during her virtual image therapy and decided to send it to us because she thought it might be useful to Slimming World listeners right now, Slimming World podcast listeners. It's a little ditty about how to kind of keep going during lockdown and why we should go to our virtual Slimming World groups. And it's played on the ukulele. She's singing, she's whistling. And I cannot get the song out of my head now that I've listened to it multiple times. I don't think that the usual ukulele band are going to be offended if we rest them for the end of this podcast. So instead, we will sign off and give Annie the last word.
Okay, so I did this little ditch for my Friday morning Slimming World Zoom group, just as a cheer everybody up, really. I can't sing. My playing's not much better, but hey, it goes nothing. Wrote this little ditty. Well, we're all locked down in our own small worlds every day. I do a bit of this and I do a bit of that every day. And I ask you, Jane, what's the member to do? Perfect, but hey, good as it gets.